Total Tuscany Podcast, number 12. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Justice, joined by my co-host, an Italian traveling partner, Pat Capagna. What's up, Pat?
Hey, thanks, Trav. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
It's nice, and it's always a nice day, as we say, when we get to talk about Tuscany and Italy. If you're finding the Total Tuscany Podcast on iTunes, thank you so much. If you're finding it on Stitcher, thank you as well. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, those are the two best ways to do it, or continue to go to TotalTuscany.com. And make sure to like Total Tuscany on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. You know, we like to think that we have the best Tuscany podcast out there. For as far as we know, it may be the only Tuscany podcast out there.
So.
But each and every week, we try to bring you a person who has a fascinating story, has a fascinating service, and really offers true value and quality to your Tuscan experience as you begin to plan your first trip or maybe plan your next trip to Tuscany. And today's no exception, Pat.
Yeah, this interview is interesting because this person isn't really spending a lot of time in Tuscany, but instead Rome. But they're fulfilling their dream, and they're doing some things that we can only think about doing at this point.
Rick Zullo has a fascinating story, and he was recently honored as having the best blog of living in Italy blog by, I believe it was Italy Magazine. But so he's given up his career in the United States. He moved to Rome. He started a blog, and now it's been recognized as the best blog about living in Italy. Rick Zullo from rickzullo.com joins us on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Rick, you live in Rome, but now you're on the Italy vacation. That sounds kind of weird for a person who lives in Italy to go on an Italy vacation. You know, that sounds kind of weird, don't you?
Yeah, I guess it does. I'm enjoying it. It's there's a lot of the Italy that I haven't seen yet. So, in doing my blog, people would contact me and say, hey, come see me up in Lake Como. Or, I know somebody who does some tours in Florence. Why don't you come check us out? And I started thinking about this and looking at the map, and I thought, you know what? I see a potential here for a tour of Italy. I'm calling it my blog tour. So that's how it worked out. I kind of contacted a few people and put the pieces together, and it turned out to be a month-long itinerary, which, I'm about 10 days into right now. So having a lot of fun.
Hey, Rick, it's Pat here. I want you to back up a little bit, and it's great to talk to you. I tell you, before we start, Travis and I have been following your blog, and we're living vicariously through you and your travels and your blog. Tell the listeners how it is that you got there and where this all came from.
Well, like you guys, I'd always enjoyed vacationing in Italy, and I'd been, four or five times, I would say at least. And in 2008, I was practicing as a dentist in Orlando, Florida, and a large national company came along and offered to buy our practice. And they said, okay, well, you got to work for us for 2 years, and then we're going to set you free. So once they set me free, I took off for Italy, and that was 2010. And, I was like a 3-month vacation, basically. I called it a sabbatical, but really I was just goofing off. So I went up in Rome one night, and I met an Italian teacher. I signed up for an Italian class, and she is now my wife. So, before that, I went back to the States, got my papers in order, and came back to Rome to live.
It's funny you say it, because the girls that we've talked to that have ended up in Italy went there for a man. You went there for a woman for a full time.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, I did. And it was perfect timing. I was in a position where I could do it, because I had just ended this one phase of my life. So I had nothing keeping me in the U.S. and I was excited to go check out Italy. So here I am, and it's been a wild ride since then, but it's been a lot of fun.
Have you ever had the desire to practice dentistry in Italy, and how hard would that be if you wanted to resurrect that career?
Yeah, I've got that question a few times. I think it would be pretty tough, number one. But I get, actually, every Italian who learns that I was a dentist asks me that, because apparently dentists make really good money in Italy. They're private, whereas the physicians are are hired by the state. So they, the dentists actually, you know, are at the top of the food chain, I guess you'd say, over here. So everyone's, you know, thinks I'm crazy for leaving that career to come over here, teach English and write a blog, you know. But no, I don't think I would anyway. I think it would just be too much bureaucracy, which I've, you know, I'm full up with that already. And, you know, to try to fight my way through the system of becoming certified and licensed and all that would be a mountain of bureaucracy that I would be unable to climb, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. So now you live in Rome, right?
Yes.
And you spend most of your time in Rome, and we've read a lot about that. That's pretty amazing stuff. Now, but have you spent a lot of time in Tuscany or in other parts of Italy?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you guys about that because I've spent a lot of time in Sicily because that's where my wife's from. But as far as Tuscany, you know, I've been writing this blog post and I had you guys in mind because what I found out in Tuscany, well, first of all, I mean, everybody knows about Tuscany. Tuscany's amazing. And I think for that reason, I sort of avoided it because I was like, well, you know, everyone loves Tuscany. Everyone talks about Tuscany. You know, maybe I need to check out something else. But I tell you what, I was there this... Well, I'm now in Cesenatico, which is on the east coast in the middle of my tour. I left Tuscany 2 days ago. I spent 5 days there. And the reason why you guys came to mind is because when listening to your podcast, I know one of you, I think it's you, Pat, that is into the history and the art and really, you know, you have an itinerary of things you want to see.
Yeah. Boy, you do listen to the podcast if you remember that. I'm impressed you remember that.
You have too much time on your hands.
And then Travis wants to find a little bar in the piazza to have a glass of wine.
That's all I want to do.
Yeah, it's a good mix.
So this sort of sums up Tuscany in my mind, and this came to my mind because I spent a few days in Florence, and you know, I went around on a tour with a private guide, and it was incredible. I learned about the Medici, I learned about Brunelleschi, and about Dante, and you know, a lot of other things. I visited a little shop where the guy still makes the handmade jewelry and everything, the gold. And then I spent a day in Chianti with another guide, just driving through the little towns and stopping at a winery, and we stopped for lunch. And this is really the Tuscany experience. And you guys are sort of two sides of that same coin. I think, you know, people who want to enjoy Tuscany should try both of these things. So get the city experience, get Florence and Siena, but geez, get out in the countryside see the rolling hills and drink some wine at a winery where the wine comes from, and talk to the guy who makes the wine and that sort of thing. So it's you guys are a good pair because you represent the two sides of Tuscany, which I think, you know, make a really complete picture.
And I think that's hard to explain to people that you get really a cultural experience from two different angles with Florence or even Siena, and then you get the countryside, which is just so simple, and you get into some of these small hill town villages that it's just the way of life is slow, it's very relaxing. So you kind of get that in Tuscany. You mentioned that you took some guides. Now, we've never done guides. We've kind of gone on our own. Would you recommend taking a guide, and how much did it cost, if we can ask you that?
I'm going to avoid the price quest only because...
you got it free because you're a blogger?
They brought me for free.
Okay, so, that's fine.
I would recommend the guides for Florence for sure. I think you walk around the city and you see all these things. You really miss it if you don't know exactly what you're looking at and have someone explain something to you. So I think you need to have a guide, you know, for your whole time there. But it'd be fun to have one like your first day for half a day, 3-4 hours, walk around with a guide and get oriented, and not just physically oriented, but sort of get oriented through time, the timeline of the history of Florence or Siena, for that matter, from the Romans to the Middle Ages to the Renaissance, and get oriented, and so you know what you're looking at. You don't have to be a scholar or know all the dates, but just, you know, get a feel for it. I think that's a great way to start the vacation. And then Chianti, well, I think that the value of a guy there, now you guys have been enough where you've figured it out on your own, but for the first time visitor, I would say you're gonna save yourself a lot of time on the learning curve if you let somebody take care of that for you, because they'll bring you to the places where, you know, they're just not in the guidebooks. They're not very popular. You can't really, you know, find them on your own. So that's what I found with this guide that I took, and she... Fantastic. So.
Are you, now that you've lived there for 4 years full time. Are you still easily impressed or not easily impressed when you see things?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that because that's sort of been the value of this tour for me, because I think maybe in Rome I've become a little habitualized to it. You know, I see the same things every day. Yes, and I still get impressed by that, absolutely. But then you come someplace like Lake Como, I was last week, or Tuscany a few days ago, and then you're surprised all over again. So that, I think that's the beauty of this country in general, and you know, maybe Tuscany in particular, because gosh, you know, like I said, it just has everything. If you know, all the treasures of Italy are present in Tuscany. I mean, you can find some of these things in other parts of Italy and some other parts in a different part, but it's all in Tuscany for sure.
Now, Rick, was there some part of you're driving through Tuscany, I presume, right?
No. Well, yes, no. We've taken trains and cars.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
we've done both.
Is there some part of Tuscany that surprised you this trip that you maybe hadn't seen before that is off the beaten path a bit?
Yes. So I actually, where the guide took me was around Chianti, in the part close to Florence. And, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you get outside the city walls of Florence and you're in Chianti pretty quick, and it's night and day. I mean, you're going from this bustling city into these beautiful rolling hills with the vineyards and, you know, it's just, you know, one cart after another. And, you know, she took me to this town called San Donato in Poggio. I don't know if you guys have been there. It's really, they don't have anything in particular to draw you there. There's no important monuments, but it's the quintessential Tuscan hill town, and you know, it's everything you'd want to see in Tuscany. So that place, and she brought me to some Etruscan tomb that just sitting out in the open. Anybody could drive up and walk right into this excavated Etruscan tombs. And then let's see. Then we went to a winery. We went to a winery that, you know, small production Chianti, make three different kinds of wine. Just Chianti wines. So the Chianti, and they explain to you that the Chianti wine has to have at least 80% Sangiovese, and you know, these other grapes can be included, and you know how they have to, you know, do a certain process in order to call it Chianti wine.
You know, I'm a snob here in the States. I go into a wine store and they're selling a Chianti, and if the Black Rooster isn't on, I said, that's not a Chianti. You know, I go, it's got to have the Black Rooster. It's got to be a Classico. They look at me like, what are you talking about? I go, you got to go. I like to throw my little snobbish knowledge around wherever I can.
Why not? I mean, but you know, I mean, it's important because those wines with the Black Rooster on it have been authenticated and checked and verified by the government that they are authentic, and they come from Chianti with, you know, at least 80% Sangiovese grapes. So it's it makes a difference. It's high quality control, and it, you know, it absolutely makes a difference.
One of your latest blog posts happened to be on the thermal spas. Did you enjoy that? Because I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could, like, put a swimming suit on and go in a thermal spa and let my fat belly hang out.
We did that.
You see, Pat did it.
We did it.
He's a lot more vain than I am.
What did you
Well,
think,
you right? know, yeah. I mean, it's a very European thing to do, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's it is a little odd at first. You know, it's something that we would normally be comfortable with in the States. And, you know, you got to get past that a little bit. Maybe a little Chianti beforehand would help, you know, have a glass or two and, you know, what the hell, just jump in. But, you know, it's relaxing. And, you know, supposedly there's these healing powers of the water. You know, I guess if you believe in it. But it's relaxing, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I wasn't too embarrassed, although, you know, I probably should have been.
You have taught English as a second language, and you've heard about our 30-day challenge that we totally bombed at just because we don't follow through on many things. Is it harder to learn Italian, or is it harder for the Italians to learn English?
It's harder to learn Italian by far, and who's languages will tell you that right away. The grammar is much more difficult. You know, the one that's a little easier in Italian is the pronunciation rules are very simple and they don't change. There's really hardly any exceptions to pronunciation in Italian, but the grammar is extremely difficult, and any Italian will tell you that. So yeah, it's a big difference. That's why, you know, we're always so surprised speaks decent English. I mean, most of them. I mean, anyone who has studied it a little bit or gives it an effort, I mean, they can speak some English. And but it is an easier language to learn. That's for sure.
Yeah, so
a little language point here. It's kind of funny, you know, being in Tuscany, and you guys talk about Tuscany. I mean, they have their own dialect, and you know that they. I'm sure you guys have heard all this, but just briefly, the Italian, the modern standard Italian, is basically comes from the Florentine dialect. So, you know, the language spoken by Dante, supposedly, you know, the most beautiful Italian dialect that there was. They used that as the model for this modern standard language. But ironically, Italians are known to have the dirtiest mouths in Italy. I mean, they use a swear word about every three.
Maybe that's why I fit in well there.
We fit in perfectly.
So you have this contrast. You have the beautiful language of Dante, you know, which is the model for the standard Italian, and at the same time, the Tuscans are the foul-mouthed ones in the country. So it's it's kind of funny to think about that, but. Yeah, anyway, so that's my language lesson for today.
Well, and how since you've been living there for 4 years solid now, Rick, is how difficult was it to actually acclimate to the culture once you picked up the language? Because once you get past you write in your blog about the romanticized Hollywood version of Tuscany in Italy. But how difficult was it for you to actually blend in with the culture?
Yeah. Okay. Blending in is tough. Because that you're always going to be the, you always have an accent, and I make, believe me, a lot of mistakes when I speak Italian. So I think blending in is tough. Now, accepted, yes, I think it's as long as you're open-minded and friendly and, you know, you try to speak the language, I think you certainly accept it. So, yeah, I make the faux pas once in a while, the cultural faux pas, you know, everybody's pretty accepting, and I've never been made to feel bad for being a foreigner or for not speaking language perfectly or for not understanding the cultural subtleties. They give me a lot of leeway.
Mm-hmm. Now that you're going on your tour, do you picture yourself in Rome for a longer period of time, or can you see yourself and your wife packing up and go to Lake Como to live, or go to Tuscany to live, or go to Sicily to live, or is Rome going to be home for a long time?
It's ironic that you say that, because that was sort of a secondary or tertiary motive of this trip, is to explore other parts of Italy and decide. Now, my wife is from Sicily, and you know she has a lot of affection for her home region, but has made it pretty clear that she never wants to live there.
Why is that?
In Tuscany, what's that?
Why is that?
Well, you know, it's much harder there. It's much harder there. There's much more. The infrastructure is nothing compared to, say, Rome, which isn't that great to begin with. But and you know, the roads, the public transportation, the services, you know, everything from getting your telephone working to, you know, you're paying your bills and going to the post office. I mean, everything is just so much harder. So that's the main reason. And there isn't a lot of job opportunities there in general. But she lived in she grew up mostly in Sicily. But then she was about 16 or 17. She moved to Tuscany, and she finished her high school in Pistoia, which is not far from Florence, about a half an hour, I think, by train. And this is the area where we're considering now, actually a little further west, even Lucca, Pistoia. This area is where we're kind of looking at. And so we may be Tuscans eventually. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that means we can we'll fly into Florence. We'll drive to see, and we'll have lots of wine
lots
together.
Of wine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have the guest room ready for you guys.
You know, do you miss Americans?
Americans in general? Sure. You mean, I'm not sure what you mean. You mean any specific people?
Just sitting down and having a nice conversation in English. Do you miss anything about the culture? Do you miss the United States?
Well, we go back there a bit. I mean, I have family there, so we go back to Florida a bit. So I would say, do I miss the culture? Yeah, I guess once in a while. I mean, people sometimes say, do you ever just want a hamburger? Or do you ever want, you know, I don't have any food cravings that I miss, because it's really hard to crave, McDonald's when you have, you know, the wonderful food of Tuscany here. yeah, I guess once in a while, sort of just the ease of slipping into a conversation or not having to think about the words that you say. Although there's plenty of chances to speak with other expats here. So, you know, a lot of people from not only the U.S., but England, Canada, even Australia. So, you know, there's plenty of chances to speak English, that's for sure, in Rome. The smaller towns of Italy, no, it's not. But so far, that hasn't been an issue. I know people will get homesick, but I haven't really, other than missing my family, I don't really have that that feeling.
What is, you know, have you written any books? If people who are listening to this go, God, I want to hear more from Rick. What's the best way to hear from you, to interact with you, to read what you have?
Thanks. I wrote a couple of books on Amazon, you know, for the ebook, the Kindle. Well, it's not just Kindle; it's any kind of e-reader. You can download it and read. So they're all you know, they're kind of semi-serious. I mean, I sort of have this thing of, you know, my wife suggests, and I started this theme of to live like an Italian, and then I had eat like an Italian and talk like an Italian. I even have a free little tiny book, just 30-40 pages on my blog that's. You can download for free called Dress Like an Italian. And believe me, I'm no expert on any of these topics. I write it from the perspective of an expat looking from the outside in at these phenomena and trying to figure them out. So it's more of an exploration. I'm not certainly declaring my authority on any of these topics, but it's sort of, you know, how we see these things and why they strike us as strange. You know, the way Italians eat sometimes, they're very regimented about the meal time. And you know, you have to eat at a certain time. And then, you know, the plates come in a certain order. You never put two things on one plate. You know, they don't have the, what they call the piatto unico, where we put it all on one plate, you know, the main course, the side dish, and the pasta or whatever, all on one plate. You would never see that in Italy. And there's all these little sort of peculiarities about eating and talking and dressing that I address in these ebooks. So there's a couple of them available on Amazon, and there's one available for free on my website, rickzullo.com. And then I also have another one that was not, I didn't write it, but I compiled a list of restaurants recommended by the top food bloggers in Italy. So the ones that blog in English about Italian restaurants in Italy, I should say, based on regional cuisine. So Rome, Florence, Venice, and the Amalfi Coast. So that's something that I gathered and edited, but I didn't write it myself.
Do you find writing much more therapeutic and career pleasing than being a dentist? I made you laugh.
That's a softball question.
It is. You just hit this thing out of the park, man.
yeah. Thanks for that one. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, I just feel so much more relaxed. I'm at ease. Even sometimes I do have problems with, you know, the WordPress or the, you know, some computer issues. Or there's deadlines where people want me to write guest posts for their blogs or stuff like that that kind of gets me a little bit anxious. But, I mean, it's, you know, then I stop and think about, you know, the 8 hours a day, you know, grinding it out. And it's a joy to be sitting at the computer and just typing my nonsense for the world to read, I guess.
You know. You know, we were talking beforehand is that we're kind of in the minority. You're lucky because you were actually in Italy. We are in the United States, but we're like one of the few like males that blog about Italy. It's usually a female dominated market.
That's no question. I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, in Rome, I know there's a few other guys, but, you know, they're a little more niche, I think, in the sense that I think there's one guy that about, you know, archaeology or architecture, and but in Rome, I really think I'm about the only one that really seriously sticks with it, you know, and posts every week and connects with the other bloggers and, you know, all that stuff. I think I'm about the only one. There's, you know, there must be 30 women who do it, at least 40, 50. I don't know, and I'm about the only guy. So, you know, I try to. have some perspective about that. I'm not sure what that says about my character or my desire to join that group, but you know, it's just never dull. I can always find something to write about. This blog tour that I'm doing now, I'm going to be writing about this for the next year. I mean, I've had so much stuff. I have pictures, I have notes, you know, I just this country. I mean, there's just too much to write about.
Yeah. So you have two guys who are going through their midlife crisis right now. This is a hypothetical question, right? It's just hypothetical. So you have two guys.
We don't know these guys.
We don't know these guys, but two guys, let's say, that are going through their midlife crisis. One of them has four kids. The other has three. Would you recommend just quitting everything and moving to Italy just to try it?
There's no question about it. Absolutely. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that plan.
That seems
what could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing could go wrong. We couldn't lose everything. Or these two guys couldn't lose anything.
Right. They'll lose, except your family and your career. But no, that you know, it can be done, actually. Now, I don't know, you know, what stages you are with your family and your kids and all that. But, you know, you could even do a sabbatical. I mean, test the wall. For a summer, you know, for 3 months, you know, and that way you don't have to get a special visa. You can just come over for 3 months on a tourist visa, and really that'll tell you, I think, if it's something that you want to do. Now, fair warning, I think there's something to be said for enjoying Italy as a tourist and to the way you guys do it. I actually think you guys do it the right way. You do it exactly how, you know, you come over here, you really submerse yourselves into the culture. And then you go back home and you work and you do everything, and then so it remains that special place for you. It remains that sort of, you know. I think in some ways it's better to keep that dream just out of reach. And you know, you go and you visit it once in a while. You know, living here, you know, it's for me it's worked out great. But I tell you, I think I'm really the minority. I think the majority of people who do that wind up, you know, just finding too many challenges and go home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're disappointed with themselves or disappointed with Italy that it didn't give them what they expected. But, you know, I hear that story a lot, you know.
So if these two random guys were going to take a sabbatical, Rick, what season do you think we should go over? Not
okay. Right now, it's perfect. I got here. Let's see. I arrived in Milan, like the 30th of April, and it was a little rainy the first day, and then the sun opened up the next day, and it just hasn't stopped since. So I would say come over. I don't know. I would say yeah, maybe even a little earlier. Maybe you know mid-April and stay till early July. You know, then early July. It's getting hot, getting crowded. Well, it's, you know, it's already crowded in June, I guess. But, you know, I would do that. You guys go to the places where it probably isn't that crowded anyway, no matter what time of year you go, if you're going to the little hill towns. So, you know, but as far as weather, then again, there's the fall, which is the time when they stomp the grapes and there's all the wonderful sagre, the sagre of the tartufo, the sagre of the porchetta. So they have all these food festivals, you know, based on one ingredient. And those are fun. So you have an artichoke festival, you have a mushroom festival, you have a pork festival. You know, I mean, you could just go nuts with these things. And I have. It's been great.
Rick, it's been a pleasure. I know you're a busy guy. You're traveling all around. And to give us a half hour or so has been very, very gracious of your time. We appreciate it. And, you know, as time goes along, we'd love to have you back again, too.
I'd love to. This has been a lot of fun. You guys have a great show, and I enjoy listening to it. And a pleasure being on it.
Like we said, Rick, we're living vicariously, so keep writing, and we'll keep.
I'll do it. I have my Tuscany post will probably be out in a couple of days, and it'll be a lot about what we talked about. You know, finding that balance between the city experience and spending some time relaxing in the countryside. So you guys are my inspiration for that.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Did you hear what Rick said about the way we go to Italy in Tuscany? We do it the right way.
That's good feedback, isn't it?
It's good feedback, but we've you know, we've kind of developed a system and a methodology about the way we plan our Tuscan trips, the way we immerse ourselves in the Tuscan culture, and that's kind of what we want to resonate with you who listen to this podcast. And it's good to get that validation from people who actually live there, because it just going there, you can be overwhelmed. And we want to take that overwhelming experience or feeling away and make you feel at home or immersed in the culture when you go there.
Absolutely. And you know, we want to make sure that our listeners understand that this is something that they can really do.
Yes.
You know? And we have very different ways of approaching it, but together, these methods work.
And keep following us at TotalTuscany.com for more ideas, more ways to plan your Tuscany trip, and ways that you'll be able to interact with Pat and myself as you plan your first or next trip to Italy. Make sure to subscribe to the Total Tuscany podcast on iTunes or Twitter. Like us on Facebook, and of course, follow us on Twitter. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Pat and I will be back again next week for another edition of the Total Tuscany podcast.
Ciao, Travis.
Ciao, and remember to live every day Tuscan style.